Hey, it's Bill Simmons. I want to tell you about the Ringer's Gambling Podcast. It is called Against All Odds with Cousin Sal, and you're not going to believe this, but it is hosted by Cousin Sal, the biggest degenerate gambler that I know. He's such a degenerate. He has three other degenerates that he calls the degenerate trifecta, and they break down every conceivable gambling thing you would ever want to gamble on. They even take you to Captain Morgan's make-believe casino, where Sal makes up props on all kinds of things, sports, pop culture, you name it. You are going to want to get your gambling advice from these guys. Cousin Sal, he's been a staple on the BS podcast for the last 10 years. So good that we gave him his own podcast. Check it out, Against All Odds with Cousin Sal. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the Ringer NFL Show, part of the Ringer Podcast Network. I'm Kevin Clark. Joined today, it's a next man up culture. Joined by Danny Kelly. Robert Mays had technical difficulties. It's week 7 of the NFL season. Danny, are you ready for this?
I'm ready. Let's do this. I'm coming in off the bench.
Yeah, are you warmed up?
I'm warm.
Were you on the sideline throwing with the holder?
I'm loosened up. Yeah, let's do this. I'm ready. Let's throw it downfield.
So last night, quite a game.
Yeah.
What will you remember most about Chiefs Raiders?
Well, apart from the whole Marshawn Lynch thing,
but that could be it.
I thought
that's the thing. There were many layers. It was like Dunkirk.
I know that there were so many twists and turns. I think the Jared Cook redemption story slash then he drops the potential game tire or game winner in the end zone the next play. That was quite the fun sort of back and forth. Yeah, the whole game was awesome. I think it was. I think the biggest thing is I did not think the Raiders were going to win that game and they came back. So that was a really fun Thursday night's been actually pretty fun.
I loved it. It reminded me of at the end of the game. First of all, how exciting I figured out is a life hack. All NFL players should be the last play of the game.
how many were there? Five?
There were four untimed downs, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, man.
And
that was
so
awesome.
Or at least four end of game scenarios. Right. Right. Not necessarily untimed downs. It reminded me of when I was playing like hoops with my brother in when I was like six, and I would just make up rules to why the final shot needed to be done over again.
Yeah,
I'd always like call
three.
I'd always be like, "Hey, you were 3 seconds in the key or something like that." And he was like,
"He
you
gets
know,
one more chance
he was
at it."
Standing out of bounds. Yeah. So that's that. So Danny, you're going to be here. We're going to be talking football. You're also going to be joining us for fantasy football later.
Yes.
You got DK's Dark Night of the Week.
People are excited about this.
They're camping out. You're selling advanced tickets to that. It's like the Star Wars movies. And the Ringer's Joel Solomon is going to be back with us for another edition of Am I Crazy? We always enjoy that. But first off, let's get to our favorite four. Those are our top four matchups of the weekend. Danny, what's your first one?
I mean, it's a rematch of the Super Bowl. We got the Falcons at the Patriots. That's probably the big... I mean, it's obviously the big narrative this week, and it's one of the best games on the schedule. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that one. I think both teams are very different than what we saw in the Super Bowl.
Not very buzzy. I mean, just not a very buzzy game. I mean, I just feel like any other year, the Super Bowl matchup in week 8 is just awesome.
Right? Yeah.
And this, I'm not feeling it. The Falcons are gaining half a yard less per play than they were last year, which is... Yeah. Massive, but it's obscured by the fact that Patriots are allowing a yard and a half more than they were last year.
It's insane. I think that I saw a stat. They've allowed 6 straight 300-yard passers, which I think hasn't happened in like decades or something like that. And so, I mean, we're getting into the sort of historically bad zone with this pass defense. I don't know. You know, I trust them to kind of clean it up as the year goes on and get better.
I keep hearing that. But
just because you respect him.
But at what point, I wrote this for theringer.com today, but there's two sort of concurrent things. Number one is that we always keep trusting Belichick because we have 17 years of
Belichick.
We're
conditioned to.
Yeah, exactly. But like, I just don't see, maybe they make a big in-season trade. I don't know. But I mean, I'm starting to worry about where that solution is coming from. I think they'll win the division because... of lack of options in division, but I don't know. I mean, I think this is the kind of Patriots team that gets a weird upset loss in the playoffs kind of early.
I mean, Well, I think it's like you talk about getting a midseason sort of addition. I think part of the problem has been they've lost so many guys with some of these, right. you know, trades. Like they lost so much speed just in the trades. And I'm blanking on all the names right now. It's like they lost Chandler Jones.
They lost Jamie Collins.
Right. So those two, you know, very, very explosive athletes. Yeah. You know, Jabal Sherrod is not here anymore or not in New England anymore. And, you know, you can see it. It's like their pass rush just isn't the same. And I think that's a huge deal. And in the back end, their defensive secondary has just been leaking like a sieve. And so I don't know. It's definitely really strange. I think it puts a ton of pressure on the offense. And, you know, so far they've kind of managed it. And that's why they're in the position that they are right now. But yeah, is that something that they can do all year long? I don't know.
Yeah, no, I want to see a lot because I think one of these teams is going to make a run. I feel like the Falcons have to improve on offense at some point. They can't keep giving, the Julio Jones has one red zone target all season. Like, yeah, I know Steve Sarkisian's not Kyle Shanahan, but like, can someone just tell him that?
I think his
is
head
it
coach
that hard?
This, yeah, his head coach told him that this week, essentially, right? Like, they need to get
well,
him
who wouldn't
involved.
Like, how are people, like, not at Home Depot telling him? Like, how is he not just walking around the city of Atlanta or Flowery Branch and people are like, hey, do you know Julio Jones plays for the team? And you could get him the ball? It's not hard.
Oh, man. I mean, we talked about this last week or earlier this week, I should say, and I mean, it's just so frustrating because they have so many good players on that offense and they just seem to, I don't know, like just be ignoring some of the strengths of their best players. And so I don't know. I don't know how they fix it other than force feed Julio and get their running backs more involved in the pass game like last year. Sure. To me, that's like what, and I talked about this on Tuesday, it's like it's what made them so just intimidating on offense is you just never knew where the ball was going. It was like such a pain in the ass for defenses to prepare for them because they had so many different options. Like,
yeah,
they could go everywhere.
As far as the Patriots go, Belichick spoke on Friday about why his midseason trades always seem to work out in some way. Either it's Akeem Ayers or Kyle Van Noy, Akeem Talib. And the reason is because he said that you know exactly what role that player is going to take, whether that's a situational mm-hmm. pass rusher, whether that's a nickel cornerback, whatever. And what I find interesting is, I don't know what trade you make if you're the Patriots right now. And I just don't know. I mean, do you go out and you get another cornerback? Because they've got some pretty damn talented cornerbacks. The safety play has been an issue. Devin McCourty and Patrick Chung are both giving up, if you look at PFF, a lot of receptions per target. And so, but I just, again, those two players are solid. So I don't know what you go out and do if you're the Patriots right now.
I mean, I think for me, it's like if they could go out and get a pass rusher,
yeah,
that would help. You know, so they have Trey Flowers. He's been solid. And it's like, you know, they went and got Cassius Marsh in the offseason. That was not like, it's not a marquee trade, obviously, but he's kind of been a goat already there. And so, I mean, if they could get like a top tier pass rusher, that would help a ton. But who are they going to trade for? Like who's going to give up a top tier pass rusher at this point? It's just not going
to
happen.
I mean, it's similar to the Seahawks problem. Jason LaConfora floated the idea that they could make a trade to get offensive line help. With the exception of Dwayne Brown, who's going to be very, very costly and who was floated in that story, who's ready to trade an offensive lineman right now?
You know? I mean, even the Browns have an interest in keeping Joe Thomas just because they're trying to develop their young quarterbacks. Like, no one wants to give up a really solid offensive lineman because even if you're sort of tanking or planning for next year, it's like you do got to get through this year and you do have to see some improvement in certain areas. So I don't know, man.
I've never seen a quote one way or the other. Does Joe Thomas want to stay in Cleveland forever? He does.
I think so.
Joe Solomon is saying he does. Has he said this?
Yeah, you got to keep that consecutive snap streak in Cleveland.
But he
alive.
Can keep that going in Seattle.
No, Seattle would probably ruin him. Joe I mean, Thomas? He'd probably get hurt.
Well, in Seattle, he'd get benched for a college basketball player.
Exactly.
Sorry, Joe, we're making a move. We found some guy from Washington State who ran track.
Western Kentucky, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, this is they found a new guy.
Oh, got it. Oh, I see. Yes, yes. Another different guy.
After they traded for Joe Thomas in this hypothetical situation, they went down to a track somewhere in the state of Washington, Idaho.
Yeah.
All right. Next game. Redskins at Eagles is the next game. I have no idea what to expect. I mean, I felt like the Raiders were going to beat the Chiefs because I feel like the Raiders couldn't possibly be as bad as they've looked, and the Chiefs couldn't be as good as they've looked.
Hmm.
I don't feel that way necessarily about this game. It's just as far as the Eagles are being ready for a fall. I honestly cannot get a read on this particular game. Help me out, Danny.
Well, I like the Eagles a lot, man.
Yeah.
Is that kind of what you're getting at? That you like the Eagles a lot? You can't kind of pick holes in them because sort of
I don't know what I'm getting. I'm waiting for your take and then I'm going to steal it as my own.
So that's what I was doing. Yeah, the Eagles. Okay. Here's what I think you think.
Yeah, no. Really what I'm good. Saying generally is I think that the Eagles are pretty good. I think they can win this game. All of a sudden they're 6-1 and then they're just there. You know what I'm saying? I mean, like, yeah. I think once you're 6-1 in a conference where we have no idea who else the contender is, you're the contender.
Yeah.
You're the contender.
The wild card. So, like, to me on paper, I like the Eagles a lot in this game. Yeah. I think they're really balanced. I think, you know, Carson Wentz has played pretty dang well and they've got more weapons on offense now. They even have a run game. And defensively, they're great. And I don't know. I just think on paper, they look great. But, like, obviously, it's a divisional matchup. It's a grudge match. You just never know what's going to happen in the NFC East, man. It's one of those divisions where it just doesn't seem to really matter how good any team is because every game is just crazy in that division.
Yeah. No, I have more questions about the NFC East than I do any other division.
We don't even know if the Giants might be good now again.
Let's not go crazy, Danny.
Okay.
Let's not go crazy. But, I mean, is Dallas good?
I honestly couldn't tell you.
I mean, that gets into the Ezekiel Elliott thing. Who the hell knows what's going to go on with that? But, I mean, it's just I have no idea what to expect from week to week in that division. I do not believe the Giants are good. That's for sure.
All right. Kirk Cousins has been playing pretty well.
Yeah.
Obviously, Chris Thompson's been a huge X factor for them. You know, he's kind of opened up that offense when they needed somebody to step up. Terrell Pryor's there now, but they lost Garcon and DeSean Jackson from last year. So they needed somebody to step up. And he's been kind of the guy. Defensively, they're kind of banged up. And that's a concern, obviously, playing on the road. You know, I think Wentz could have another big game here just based on the fact that, you know, Jonathan Allen's out. I think Josh Norman's banged up. They're shorthanded on defense.
I just looked up DeSean Jackson's numbers in Tampa.
He's gotten a lot of targets.
I don't understand what's going on there.
How many catches does he have?
17. But he went the last 3 weeks, 20 yards, 106 yards, 38 yards.
Yeah.
First 2 weeks of the season, he went 39 yards, 84 yards. That's
the definition of
boom and bust.
Yeah, yeah. I was looking at his numbers though last night in terms of targets. He's been pretty consistently targeted. So
yeah.
I think they're trying to make him a bigger part of their offense. But I mean, clearly we've seen the Buccaneers' offense has been sort of all over the place. So that makes sense.
Love it. That's Eagles Redskins. We offered no definitive proof either way. I think we both like the Eagles in this game, right?
Yeah, I agree. I like the Eagles in this one.
I got a weird read on the Redskins in that 49ers game.
Yeah? Tell me about it. I didn't really watch that game closely.
I Cousins did his Cousins thing, 330 yards, two touchdowns. Yeah. You know, he's had a great season. I mean, because quarterback rating is 106 this year? Yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
He's been impressive, yeah.
He's been great. But, I mean, you know, they could have easily lost that game. And it's the damn C.J. Beathard-led 49ers.
No.
I think
the 49ers are better than people are giving them credit for. I mean, they're not good, but
are they?
I saw that. So
Danny, make a case that the 49ers are better than people are giving credit.
I was reading about it on Football Outsiders. I think they even said like they're the best 0-6 team ever, which is obviously not saying a lot. But they've lost all their games by like a combined like every one of their games has been really close. So it's not like they're getting blown out. Is what I'm saying. I'm not ready to like. You know, go on the record and say, I think the 49ers are good, but they're not like, you know, they're not like a tanking sort of like the Browns right now. You know, they're not like that.
The Colts would raise a banner if Football Outsiders named them the top 0-6 team in the history of football. Okay.
A lot of fine print.
Danny, this is a game you wrote about this week in a sense, Saints at Packers, because it's interesting to me. We talked a lot about who the contenders could be in the NFC in the post-Rodgers world. Is it going to be the Packers with Brent Hundley? Probably not. Could it be the Saints, who we know are always going to be there on offense, but seem to have figured out some things on defense with Lattimore and Crawley, Marcus Williams? Having written about the Packers this week, where do you see this game going?
Yeah, this is actually a really fascinating matchup, I think, just because on paper, obviously, you'd lean Packers, they're at home, but we just have no idea what Brett Hundley offense is going to look like. I don't, you know, obviously he came in cold like I'm doing now in this podcast and kind of threw three picks. Hopefully, I'm hoping not to do that, but I mean, that's not
you're
what
on
we expect.
Fire, buddy. Don't you? Don't you worry about that.
I don't think we, you know, we shouldn't expect him to be that bad going forward because, you know, that's a really tough ask. He didn't get the practice reps during the week, blah, blah, blah. But at the same time, and I heard Lombardi talking about this on GM Street, too. It's like they're not going to be able to run the Aaron Rodgers offense with Brett Hundley. Like Aaron Rodgers is an MVP candidate slash one of the best to ever play the game, you know, and so he saves them from a lot of things. And he hides a lot of their issues on the offensive lines, you know, obviously with injuries. He gets guys to jump off sides, all that stuff, all the magic that Aaron Rodgers brings to an offense is gone. And now we're going to see kind of a, I guess, like stripped down version of the offense that hopefully fits around Hundley's skill set. And I mean, he's been in the system for a couple of years. So bottom line, I don't really know what to expect. I think it obviously is going to be in a massive drop off, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But is that enough versus the Saints who, yeah, they've been better on defense, but they're still not like, you know, we have to see a little bit more, I think, from them to say this is a great defense. I think Cam Jordan is a game-wrecking type of player, and that could be a big factor. And having Marshawn Lattimore back there is huge for them. But I still don't know if I trust that the Saints defense has kind of arrived.
You don't trust the Saints defense after
after
like
4 years,
7 years of them finishing 31st in the league? Wow.
Yeah.
Danny.
All right. I'm going out on a limb on this one. Yeah.
Here's another game you wrote about this week. I'm intrigued by this. Cardinals. Yeah. With a rejuvenated Adrian Peterson coming to Los Angeles to play the Rams.
I was shocked. I watched, you know, because I Adrian Peterson, obviously a big sort of storyline this week. Yep. And so I was like, I want to dig into this. And I watched that game closely with like the All-22 and everything. It was like actually shocking to me how much he impacted that game. I mean, if you watch the Buccaneers defense, they were biting on play action so hard. It was actually almost funny. And he obviously showed some of the juice that we saw earlier in his career. Obviously, you know, the jump cuts behind the line, like hurtling through the line and making plays, like taking on guys at the goal line. Like it was all there. And he looks like sort of, and I think they kept throwing around like rejuvenated and refreshing. And, you know, Larry Fitzgerald was talking about how he kind of re-energized them in the huddle and all this stuff. But it actually was like schematically like a big deal because he averaged like 6-point-something yards per carry on first downs. And that's huge for them because they've been getting backed up a lot. Like I think they before this week, they were averaging like 2.2 yards per carry or something like that on first down. So that's putting them in a lot of second and long, third and long situations. You know, that's asking a lot of Carson Palmer, especially with such a terrible offensive line so far this year. So it like he is kind of he has the ability to, I think, change that offense a lot, just the way he's running. Obviously, having a couple new guys on the offensive line, they got a couple guys back on the offensive line, so that's been huge. But I think we're closer to seeing sort of the 2015 version of the Cardinals than we think. I wrote about this. It's like, I'm not saying they're getting there. I'm saying he gives them a chance to recapture some of the downfield magic that they had in 2015, just because he gives them that balance. He gets them into second and short situations where they can really air it out. I don't know. I'm kind of thinking it could be like a big deal for them.
Are they going to make the playoffs, Danny?
I don't know. Anybody could make the playoffs at this point. There's like 20
Do you think
teams.
The Cardinals are going to make the playoffs?
I don't. I mean, right now, if I had to put my money down on it, I'd say no.
Okay.
But I mean,
I want to
like,
see one Peterson Aaron Donald collision.
That would be fun.
That's all I care about for this game.
I mean, God, yeah. Aaron Donald is such a game wrecker. It's insane.
It's unbelievable. All right, let's move on to the hottest take that I actually kind of believe. This is sort of a tongue-in-cheek.
Yes.
Yeah, you're fired up, Danny.
I'm excited for this.
It's my DK's Dark Knight of the Week. It's not as famous a franchise, but it's sort of a tongue-in-cheek look at something that I believe needs to happen in the NFL. And I think that we're getting to a point where this is becoming a mainstream opinion, and so I got to get right. I got to stake my claim right now. The Dolphins should just bench Jay Cutler. It's over.
Yeah.
It's
not even that hot.
First of all, I'm not even sure it's a take. I think it's just the thing. So the Dolphins have won two straight. And both of those things have essentially been in spite of Jay Cutler's just, I don't even know if it's poor passing. It's just, he's like throwing the ball at receivers' ankles. Like, it's just not good. I mean, he completed, against Tennessee, he completed 46% of his passes. And he was a little better against Atlanta, 57%, but for 151 yards. Like, you have so many weapons in Miami, and that's what you're doing?
I was just looking at his yards per attempt in the last three games.
Yeah.
Or in the last two games, his yards per attempt.
3.5 and 4.5.
It's so bad, man.
Well, the good news is he had 8 rushing yards 2 weeks ago.
Oh, well, that's
good. So that makes, he made up for it with his legs. No, I mean, it's just Matt Moore, I guess, would be better. I don't know. I mean, we kept saying, and I bought into this, that at least Cutler was above average. I don't think that's the case anymore.
Well, Moore has been in the system for a lot longer, too. I actually wrote about...
Well, Bob Mays is a big Matt Moore would score more points than Jay Cutler guy. We talked about this on Monday.
Yeah, Bobby Mays. I mean, I believe it. Like, so I actually wrote about sort of the available quarterbacks last year, and mm-hmm. Matt Moore was on the borderline of being a starter in that article. I mean, he took over for the last three regular season games. He had like 106 rating. He had 8 touchdowns and 3 picks. I mean, he wasn't like a disaster, especially when you compare what Cutler's done. I mean, obviously, though, it's like a question of once you bench Cutler, that's like a big decision because one, you paid him $10 million to come in this year, and you know, once you bench him, are you going to go back to him? Are you going to do that sort of thing? And especially after they've won two games,
I don't think you do. The last time Moore, and obviously the completions are going to be different and all that, but the last time Moore played a game for the Dolphins was a playoff game, which completed 80% of his passes against the Steelers.
I mean, yeah,
the week before that, he completed 70%. So against
put him in.
Just put him in and let him do dink and dunk or whatever, but just don't do whatever the hell the Dolphins are doing with Jay Cutler right now. I don't care about Jay. You can cut Jay Cutler. He's on a 1-year deal for $10 million. He can go back to the Fox booth.
Is there any indication he's like getting better in that offense either? Like Jay Cutler? 6 weeks into the
year. You just saw his numbers.
He's getting worse.
He's getting worse. Thank you, Joel.
Okay, thank you. I mean, outside the numbers, I guess. Does he look any more like...
Yeah, the eye test.
No,
yeah,
no he doesn't.
He's completing 40% of his passes the last 2 weeks. But that I'll tell you what, the eye test. 3.5 yards per attempt. But, you know, when you watch the tape...
Well, that's kind of what they're saying.
Who's they? Cutler?
The Dolphins. They're, like, not thinking about benching him, it sounds like.
I mean, everyone says they're not thinking about benching somebody until they are.
That's true.
He has not had a quarterback rating above 76 since week one.
You guys, that's like lower than Osweiler. That's like lower than the Osweiler line.
Would Osweiler be an improvement over this? That's my
honestly,
question.
Maybe, yeah.
I think he might. He would just dink and dunk it.
I was actually kind of like, I was looking forward to the Cutler era. I was actually pretty.
I was too.
I thought he was actually going to do okay.
Our man 2 weeks ago had 92 yards on 26 attempts.
Jeez. I mean, yeah, you can't hide behind those numbers. Those numbers are atrocious. Like, there's no way around it, honestly.
Bench Cutler, bring in Matt Moore.
Matt Moore, too. He's actually been pretty good.
Let's not go crazy on Matt Moore.
I mean, I'm not going crazy, but...
All right, Danny Kelly, it's time. It's time for you to shine, buddy.
Oh, boy.
Fantasy fans have to make tough start and sit decisions every week, and a lot of these are based on matchups, but based on some different factors, you've noticed some misleading matchups.
Yeah,
potentially. Let's start with the quarterbacks.
All right, so this is... I get the impression that you're not sold on the Giants having sort of a comeback at this point, but
I am going the other way on the Giants. I picked them to win the division. I'm so angry at them that I'll never pick them to win anything ever again. I mean, yeah. Until Ben McAdoo is gone. So 3 weeks from now.
All right. So basically on paper, the Giants look like a good matchup for the Seahawks, at least before last week. But I still think, you know, most people are kind of looking at Russell Wilson as a good start this week. I'm very leery about this for a number of reasons. Number one, Wilson hasn't been very good on the road. I mean, if you go back to the beginning of last year, he's got on the road, he's completed 61% of his passes, 250 yards a game, 13 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, at 84 rating. So, I mean, that's definitely not like top tier play. He's much better at home. Adding the fact that Luke Jokel, he had to get his knee scoped or whatever this last week. He's going to be out. He was actually one of the good players on the offensive line so far this year.
And actually one of the good players. One of the guys who's not waste of space.
He was actually like sort of like a calming factor, I think. Like, you know, he was decent. I'm not saying he's good, but he was a decent sort of like slot in there at the left guard. And now they're going to have Mark Glowinski, who's been basically a disaster this year, and then Ethan Postich, who is a rookie. I don't know what they're doing. It sounds like they're going to do a platoon at that spot, which, you know, that never backfires ever. So we'll see how that goes. But basically what I'm saying is the Seahawks offensive line is not good, and that's just still a really good defensive line in New York. I'm really worried about that. I think that's a risky, risky play if you're going to go with Russell Wilson against the Giants defense. I don't think that looks like a solid play for me.
Bill Simmons has a rubric he calls the Tyson Zone, mm-hmm. which is where you'll believe any story about anything. In my opinion, the Seahawks offensive line is in the Tyson Zone. Like they could start, like tomorrow I could find out they traded for Jermaine Kearse again and he's starting at right guard. And I'd be like, oh, yeah, there's Tom Cable. They got Kearse putting on 25 pounds in a week.
Dude, if it wasn't funny, it would make me cry. Because, I mean, clearly, you know, I'm a Seahawks fan. Like, it hurts for me to say that, like, Russell Wilson could have a really bad week. But so hopefully I'm wrong. But I just see this offensive line not doing anything. I don't know how they're going to run. I don't know how they're going to protect Russell Wilson. I just think it could be bad.
Okay. Wide receiver, Danny.
This one's kind of a leap of faith pick for me, and maybe I'm riding the Amari Cooper sort of, you know, wave right now, but sure. I'm starting Martavis Bryant versus the Bengals. You know, it's been a really sort of, you know, weird.
So just to put this into context, Martavis Bryant asked for a trade last week.
Right. So he's reportedly on the trade block or asking for a trade. He essentially got sort of passed up in their offense by Juju Smith-Schuster. But I still think, I don't know, I still feel like they want to like make him, turn him back into what he was a couple of years ago when he was just, you know, like scoring touchdowns on every third time he touched the ball. And he's too talented, he's too fast. And I don't know, I'm just kind of, if you look at the Bengals defense, they're really good. They're number three in the NFL on DVOA, but that they're very, very strong against number one receivers, number five DVOA, but they're not very good. They're not as good anyway against number two and three receivers per Football Outsiders, 13th and 30th respectively. So I think they have a chance to kind of, and I think they want to do this because they've been funneling the ball to Antonio Brown like crazy. I think they want to get some of these other guys involved. So that this is all kind of, you know, like I said, it's sort of a leap of faith, but I think that Bryant could have a big game. I'm kind of, He's my guy that looks like a terrible pick, but I'm going with him.
All right. Joel Salomon frantically trying to make a point.
That's just what Ben needs. Another player demanding him the ball. I mean, this is perfect. Ben, this is why Ben wants to retire, I think.
He's just
go to that cabin.
Yeah.
Drink some Bush Lights.
Yeah. This is James Harrison's going to want the ball now in goal line situations. This is crazy.
That would actually be
Joey
really
Porter
fun
from the linebackers coach's room.
Yeah,
just give me the ball.
Yeah, this is why Ben is a complete mess right now.
Yeah, that's the reason. Running backs, hit me, Danny.
All right, so I'm going with Doug Martin versus the Bills defense. You know, clearly the Bills have one of the best defenses in the NFL, second in DVOA right now per Football Outsiders. So I typically would say, you know, matchup based, stay away from these guys. But if you look at the what the various factors going into this game, I think you could end up having a big volume of carries because number one, obviously Jameis is a little bit hurt.
Yep.
Their passing game has been really sort of all over the place. And the Bills' pass defense is like incredible. I mean, their run defense is good, but their pass defense has been really, really incredible. So I could see them. And again, this is going to probably be, it looks like a game that will be a low scoring game. The Bills' offense isn't anything special. And I just think this, it could be kind of one of those, you know, 10 to 6 slogs. And I could see Doug Martin getting a lot of action, especially in the run game, but also in the passing game, because that's actually one area where the Bills' defense has struggled a little bit, is defending running backs out of the backfield. So it might look like a bad matchup on paper, but I'm liking Doug Martin this week.
Okay, I like it. All right, Danny, it's time.
Yes.
It is time.
What everyone's been waiting for.
For DK's Dark Knight. We keep getting tweets about DK's Dark Knight. I'm serious, like during Sunday's game, whenever you pick a guy.
I have a lot to live up to this week because Austin Seferian Jenkins was kind of, you know, he was a star of the week, yeah. Even though that second touchdown
ASJ
didn't count.
Obviously was a stud last week. A lot of pressure for this week. Everybody's everybody's watching. Joel has cash out, ready to just lay it down on whoever you pick.
I'm going with Eric Decker, Titans. You know, he hasn't been like a huge part of their offense this year so far, but last week he had a season high in targets, catches, yards. He's seen 6 targets and 9 targets the last 2 weeks. He's kind of starting to like integrate himself into the offense a little bit. And when you look at his career, that dude just has a nose for the end zone. He's an amazing red zone target. And against the Browns, who are dead last, you know, in defense and terrible pass defense. Actually, I looked at the stats right now. They're giving up a rating of 111. So, like, they're making every quarterback into, like, freaking Aaron Rodgers or, like, whatever. You know, like, 7.9 yards per attempt. They surrendered 14 touchdowns on the year. So, one, it's a great matchup. Two, I think Decker's kind of starting to, there's no clear number one in that offense, obviously, with Rishard Matthews and Eric Decker. It's kind of...
It's been kind of a weird offensive start, and you had Mariota banged up a little bit.
But I'm feeling good about this matchup. I like Decker a lot. I think he's starting to sort of get chemistry with Mariota. He's my Dark Knight of the Week.
I love it. What an honor for him. Coming up, we got Joel Solomon, who's already chimed in on a few points. He's back with another edition of Am I Crazy? Plus, we'll let you know what we think next week's headlines will be. But first, let's take a quick break. Danny, did you lay any money down on Amari Cooper going for over 200 yards and 2 TDs last night?
I did not. Even if I did bet on football, I probably would have bet for the opposite of that.
Sure.
But if I did bet on football, I would also use MyBookie. Great odds, fast payouts, and if you're laying down your hard-earned money on football, you want a company with decades of experience like them.
And your team doesn't even have to win. So you bet against your team. If they lose, you win. And if they win, you also win.
Yep. And they have in-game betting, an easy-to-use mobile site, and you can even play blackjack on MyBookie. You play blackjack, Kevin?
I've been known to play blackjack.
This is important. We say this every week, but this is the last week MyBookie is offering 100% bonus. After Sunday, it's gone.
Two things that will end on Sunday. Number one is Jay Cutler's days as a relevant NFL starter, and MyBookie's 100% bonus. So enjoy both of those things before they're over.
Join now, and MyBookie will match your deposit with up to a 100% bonus for the last time this year. Use promo code RINGERNFL to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid.
We're also brought to you by Hotel Tonight. It's an app for your phone that lets you book hotel rooms at super cool hotels at the last minute for great prices. Our producer, Sean Keegan, has an actual story that we love about Hotel Tonight saving the day in Barcelona. Sean, hit us with it.
Yeah, we always do this ad for Hotel Tonight, and I have this story. I've had Hotel Tonight for probably 2 years. It's a great app. Super easy to use. You plug in your credit card, kind of like Uber, and then you can search wherever you are. Hotels will pop up. I'm in Barcelona. I have this Airbnb, and it's above a restaurant. I get into Barcelona late in the night, and I just want to sleep. This restaurant turns into a club. It's like the loudest place ever. The room I'm in has no insulation. Imagine just being in a loud bar, and you're trying to sleep like on the bar. It was a rager going till 7 a.m. I slept very little. I go out into the town. I sprain my ankle really bad. So now I'm like cooped up in this room with ice, and the sun starts going down. The place starts getting riled up again. I'm like, I have to get out of here. I open up Hotel Tonight in Barcelona. I get a room for about $100. Next thing you know, I'm in this cozy room, quiet, having a good time. I go down to the lobby bar. I actually meet a girl down there who works. She's in town for El Clasico. She invites me to the viewing party at the Barcelona Stadium. They win. Messi scores in like the 92nd minute. It's like this great experience, all because of Hotel Tonight. So this is an app that you need on your phone. It's seriously going to come in handy if you travel. And last minute, booking in advance, whatever you need.
How can you not get it after that? Hotel Tonight coming in handy all over the world. You can also book in advance if you want to plan ahead. With Hotel Tonight, you'll bag a sweet deal at a killer hotel. Whether you need a room for today, for Halloween, or beyond, you definitely want to download the Hotel Tonight app now. All right, we've got Joel Solomon here. Joel in the zone. You're not showing a lot of emotion right now. You're coming out like...
I was up watching four endings of Raiders Chiefs. I'm exhausted.
It was
bro.
Like Wayne's World. They ended it four different ways.
Alternate endings.
Yeah. All right, we got Joel Solomon here for his latest edition of Am I Crazy? Joel, we love this segment. Start us out.
All right, here we go. Cleveland Browns players, they haven't had much to celebrate over the last decade, obviously. But Hugh Jackson said he supports players celebrating on the field, which is great. You know, he wants them playing with emotion even when they're getting blown out, which is all the time. Hugh Jackson, by the way, 1-21 over two seasons. So, am I crazy, or is the biggest Brown celebration of the last 10 years Peyton Hillis landing the cover of Madden 12?
Ooh.
Top it, buddy.
How big was the celebration when Myles Garrett got a sack on his first?
Yeah, Myles Garrett looks good, but I think Peyton Hillis.
There might, you know, week 16 against San Diego last year, we had the Joe Thomas consecutive snap. There's I'm sure some Josh Gordon celebrations in there, but I mean Peyton Hillis, true. Guys, this is where it's at.
He was a legend.
I can't think of a better. I mean, people tweeted us, and I'm happy to entertain those tweets about that. What about 2010 when they finished in third place instead of fourth place? Since 2000, in 2007 they finished in second place, and since then they finished in last place all except 2010.
I still think Peyton Hillis edges that out. And then
well,
of course,
you know,
gets
I think
the Madden
drafting,
curse.
Drafting Johnny Manziel.
Ooh. And there was that excitement there.
There was some excitement there.
All right. I'm curious to hear what Browns fans think, but for my money, I'm going Peyton Hillis. That was a monumental moment in Cleveland Browns.
What about
history.
When they acquired every second and third round pick for the next 10 years?
That was in draft day. That was a movie, sir. I'm sorry.
They're actually doing that. They actually are. That's their philosophy. Just nothing but second and third round picks. And also that happened in draft day.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on. Kansas City Chiefs have signed CJ Spiller for a fourth time. He actually, you know, he played last night, but he has been cut, re-signed, cut, re-signed, cut, re-signed, cut, re-signed. Played last night for two carries, 0 yards. So clearly it was worth the wait. I mean, he's basically his own season of Hard Knocks. I mean, they're going to remake He's Just Not That Into You with Andy Reid and CJ Spiller. I mean, I Kevin, you don't even cancel dinner plans on someone that much. And you do cancel plans.
What just happened? When have I ever canceled plans?
A lot.
In one instance. I don't make plans.
All right, fair. But am I crazy?
I live my life a quarter mile at a time.
Am I crazy, or does this prove that Andy Reid is the most indecisive coach of all time? As well as the last 2 weeks of coaching.
I mean, that's pretty good evidence. That's like, you know, actually solid, hard, concrete evidence.
He's the Billy Martin of running backs.
It's empirical.
I mean, how do you feel if you're CJ Spiller four times cut and re-signed? Like, guys, make a call here. Just let me know.
What do you think they say? Do they say just hang out in town till next time we call you?
Billy Martin was fired 5 times from the Yankees.
Well, we're in that territory with CJ Spiller. There's a lot of season left.
At some point, when do you stop returning the Chiefs calls?
Never. I just like, it's like Andy Reid at a McDonald's, like looking at the menu when people are just staring.
Yeah.
It hasn't changed in 20 years. You know what you want, but someone's just standing there looking like the menu's changed. CJ Spiller hasn't changed much. You Andy Reid, you should have known on the second time you cut and re-signed him what you're getting. All right. But never mind. All right, Kevin, you are one of my top 6 people at the Ringer, favorite people here.
Top six or seven. 6 or 10.
Yeah.
Top 10.
So I know how much you love movies. I stayed up last night. I want to introduce a new segment. Are you guys familiar with Rotten Tomatoes?
I am.
All right.
Yes.
So this game is going to be called Will They Outscore Rotten Tomatoes?
Okay.
I'm going to give you a team that has, to put it nicely, struggled offensively. You tell me if they're going to have a higher score this weekend than a movie that's opening this weekend.
Okay.
Also probably struggling offensively at the box office. All right. So first up, we have the Bengals, who are playing at the Steelers, or the movie Geostorm. Who is going to have the higher score on Monday? Come Monday, Bengals or Geostorm?
So points versus percentage?
Points versus percentage. And because this is our first week, I'll help you right now. Geostorm is currently
27%.
At a 27%.
So the Bengals or 27 points?
You got it, pal. Against the Steelers. Big rivalry. 27 is a lot. For both
Geostorm wins.
Wow.
How is it 27%? That seems super high. Just based on the
Geostorm?
Well, the reviews are still coming in.
Geostorm looks awesome.
No, that's incorrect.
I'm looking at the Rotten Tomatoes right now. All of these movies I'm going to see.
Wait, so you think Geostorm wins over the Bengals?
Absolutely. By like 10.
Wow. Okay. AJ Green.
I'm going with the Bengals.
If you just put the cast of Geostorm against the Bengals, they would be able to generate a pass rush on that offensive line.
Danny, what do you think?
I'm going with the Bengals. I just, the Geostorm is going to drop into like the teens by the end of the weekend.
Oh, wait. So you're saying that.
Are we set at 27?
Are
right
we
now?
Set at 27 or are we on Sunday night?
Come Sunday night, we will put up the final score.
That makes more.
Unless you want to change the rules now.
No, I'm fine with it. It's going to be Geostorm.
I think Geostorm makes a comeback. I do think that number goes higher.
I'm going the opposite way.
Wow.
All right. Next up, the Dolphins. We've already talked about Jay Cutler. Jets at Dolphins. The Snowman is at an 11.
This is impossible.
How can the Dolphins not beat the Snowman?
No, it's impossible because I don't know the answer.
Oh, you don't know the answer.
How is that only at 11? That's crazy.
It's a bad movie.
The Snowman versus Cutler. Cutler could also put up a snowman.
What are you doing, Danny? I mean, are you watching the Snowman?
I was excited about the Snowman. I like Thomas Alfredson. But that doesn't say anything. I haven't seen the Snowman yet. Man, that's bad.
We're looking for the higher score, gentlemen.
Let's see here. I'm going with the Dolphins on this one, I guess.
Yeah, I'm going with the Dolphins, but not by much. Closer than the experts think.
Well, we will find out.
All right, third one.
This has been Will They Outscore Rotten Tomatoes, Kevin? I only had 2 this week.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were going to do, you asked me 3, and then I thought you were, I was looking at Rotten Tomatoes. Tyler Perry's Boo 2, A Madea Halloween, got 17%.
I'm steering clear of that one because I'm a big Madea fan.
Hey, who scores more points? Anyone who plays the Patriots defense or only the Brave at 90%?
We have a lot of movies to see this weekend before football Sunday, sir.
Danny's flying in. We're going to go see The Snowman.
This sounds amazing to me.
All right, Joel, thank you.
All right, buddy.
That was illuminating. It's time to wrap this up. Danny, we're going to do next week's biggest headlines. It's pretty easy. What will we be talking about on Monday? Hit me.
I'm actually stealing Maze's on this one, so he gets a little bit of credit here. But we're going to have a front runner for the MVP award after this weekend, because
ooh,
we got we got New England, Atlanta, Philly, Washington. You know, there's some big games going on.
Yeah.
And obviously Alex Smith has already played. I don't know if he's not going to be the front runner probably, but he's still in there. So whether it's Tom Brady, maybe even Carson Wentz starts to emerge, mm-hmm. who knows? We're going to have some clarity. Aaron Rodgers is out. Tom Brady, I think, is probably if the Patriots win this, Tom Brady we could start be talking about him for the MVP.
Tom Brady. That's interesting.
Why not?
I mean, I think if Tom Brady puts together a Patriots-esque season with that defense, I totally agree with you.
Oh yeah,
If they win 12 or 13 games, I don't see how you can't.
Right.
I mean, Alex Smith certainly. Even you see, Alex Smith has 6 deep completions this year, which over 30 yards, which ties his career high already.
I mean, doesn't he have like 15 touchdowns already, which is what he got last year?
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, I just think they need to win a lot for Alex Smith to win the MVP.
I agree. Yeah. I think he's just based on his history, it's going to be harder for him.
Yeah. I kind of like that. My pick is somewhat tied into that. And by somewhat, I mean exactly tied into that. I think that the winner of Atlanta, New England is going to be considered back. And even though neither of them have been a complete disaster, if Atlanta loses, they'll just be 3-3. And if the Patriots lose, they'll just be 4-3. It's not, you know, they're not the Raiders on Thursday night, which is essentially, you know, if they lose, they're 2-5 and their season's over.
Yeah,
I feel like the winner, it's, oh, well, they're back. Even if the Falcons put up 30 points in that Patriots pass defense, which we know has made everyone else look like the 2016 Falcons, we will say, oh, the 2016 Falcons are back.
I think that's spot on. I could definitely see that.
All right. That's it for today. We'll be back on Tuesday with a recap of NFL's Week 7. As always, thanks for listening to the Ringer NFL Show on the Ringer Podcast Network. You can play it by ear and see how Halloween goes, or if you're the type who started planning your Halloween costume on November 1st of last year and like to have things locked down ahead of time, you can actually book a room with Hotel Tonight up to 7 days in advance. Even book up to 100 days in advance in certain major cities. With Hotel Tonight, you'll bag a sweet deal at a killer hotel. Whether you need a room for today, for Halloween, or beyond, you definitely want to download the Hotel Tonight app now.